大家好。
Greetings to all.
我们开始之前，我们一起祷告。
Let's pray together before we begin.
亲爱的天父，我们谢谢你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you.
当我们见到这个季节的改变的时候，我们想到主你对我们的慈爱。
We are reminded of your love and grace to us by looking at the seasonal changes.
愿你的话语去鼓励我们。
May your word be encouragement to us.
帮助我们有活在这个世界的时候有一个正确的目标。
Help us maintain a correct focus when we live in this world.
也帮助我们有这个活泼的盼望。
And help us with a passion, a hope with a passion.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
Thank you for listening to our prayer, and we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. 我很喜欢看卡通片的。
I love to look at watch cartoons.
小的时候特别喜欢看这些超级英雄的卡通。
When I was little, I used to love to watch these superhero cartoons.
就是什么超人啊，什么蝙蝠侠啊，什么蜘蛛侠啊。
So like Superman, like Batman, like Spider-Man.
只有他是有一个袍在后面的，我都喜欢看的。
As long as he wears a cape, I love to watch it.
那你发觉了这些故事，这些超级英雄的故事背后呢，都有一个共通点了。
And you'll find a common thing lying behind all these superhero stories.
就是呢，没有人知道这个人是谁。
That common thing is that no one knows the true identity of the superhero.
平常这些超级英雄呢，就是一个小的角色在社会里面。
And normally these superheroes are ordinary citizens in the society.
但是呢，当这个世界遇到危险的时候呢，他们就会变身成为超级英雄出来拯救这个世界。
However, when the world is in danger, they will transform themselves into a superhero and save the world.
那这一类的故事呢，也有一个很常见的一个桥段。
And these stories also have a bridging context that's commonly seen.
通常呢就是有一天呢，他们秘密的身份呢，就给他的爱人发觉了。
And that the bridging context is that one day their secret identity is discovered by their love interest.
通常呢，如果讲到这一段的故事的时候呢，这个收视率呢就会增加了。
And usually when the story progresses to this point.The viewership will increase dramatically.
那今天呢，我们是看耶稣登山变相。
And today we want to look at Jesus' transfiguration.
让人想起呢，就好像这些超级英雄呢被发现他真正的身份一样。
And it's no different from it's like superhero whose true identity is discovered.
所以是不是耶稣也要就是为了增加这个收视率呢？所以呢，又来一个登山变相这样子呢？
So Jesus goes through transfiguration to improve his viewership.
所以呢，我们今天要问两个问题啊。
So today we want to ask two questions.
第一个问题就是登山变相的目的是什么
？The first question is what is the purpose of Jesus' transfiguration?
第二个问题就是耶稣登山变相对我们有什么影响
？The second question is what kind of impact?Jesus' transfiguration has on us.
所以我们先来看为什么耶稣要登山变相呢
So firstly, let's look at why Jesus was to be transfigured.
那很明显呢，耶稣不是为了增加他的受欢迎的程度。
So clearly, Jesus did not get transfigured to improve his popularity.
因为如果他是希望这样子做的时候，他应该在十六章的时候做这个事情。
So if he were to improve his popularity, he should have done it back in chapter 16.
因为当时十六章的第一节，当时的开始就是这些法利赛人呢、撒都盖人呢来找耶稣，要求他从天上显一个神迹。
Because in the first verse of chapter 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and asked him to show a sign from heaven.
那如果当时啊，耶稣在他们面前变相。
If Jesus had been transfigured at that moment in front of them.
叫摩西跟以利亚同时出现。
And have Moses and Elijah to appear at the same time.
又有父神呢，在他的云彩里面证明耶稣的身份。
And also with God the Father approving Jesus' identity by speaking through the cloud.
你说耶稣会不会马上变成很出名的一个人呢？
Wouldn't you think that Jesus will become a famous person right away?
但是呢，耶稣没有选择在十六章的时候这样子做。
But Jesus did not choose to do that in chapter 16.
反而是在第十七章带上一个门徒暗暗的上山上的时候才变相。
Instead, he was transfigured after he took three disciples with him privately up to the mountains.
所以我们就要问了，为什么耶稣要这样子做？
So now we must ask why Jesus did in such a way.
那么我们就要回到十六章的十三节开始讲起。
And now we need to go back to chapter 16, verse 13.
我们知道了到十六章的时候已经是耶稣快要离开世界了。
And we know that at the moment of events that took place in chapter 16, Jesus was about to depart from this world.
所以他训练门徒的最后的阶段。
This was the last stage of his discipleship training with his disciples.
那么他就叫十二个门徒来去问问他，你说我是谁呢？
So he gathered his 12 disciples and asked them who he was.
那么彼得就回答说，你是基督，是永生神的儿子。
And Peter answered that you're the Messiah, you're the Son of living God.
圣经告诉我们，从这个时候开始，耶稣才告诉门徒呢，他必须要上耶路撒冷受死，三天后复活。
And it was at this moment that Jesus told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to be killed and to be raised back to life in 3 days.
那彼得听到这个消息的时候，发觉呢，跟他心目中的基督的想法不一样，所以呢，他就阻止耶稣。
Peter heard this. He wanted to stop Jesus because that's not how his perception of a Messiah should be like.
耶稣责备这彼得。
Jesus rebuked Peter.
但是他还要告诉他的门徒啊，就是呢，若有人要跟随我，就当舍己，背起他的十字架跟从我。
But he also told his disciples.That whoever wants to follow me must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me.
那耶稣讲出你要成为我的门徒，你要愿意跟我一起去死。
And Jesus is saying that if you want to be my disciples, you must be ready to die with me.
那么后来呢，耶稣讲完这句话以后，他就解释为什么舍己是一个聪明的选择呢？
And after Jesus made that statement, he provided explanation as to why one denying himself is a smart choice.
十六章的二十五节，耶稣讲：“因为凡要救自己生命的，必丧掉生命；凡为我丧掉生命的，必得着生命。”
And in verse 25, Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will find it."
耶稣讲出生命是一个吊诡啊。
And then Jesus said that life is a paradox.
这是一个此非而是的一个事实。
And meaning that life itself is full of contradictory stories.
为什么二十五节这句话是对的呢？
But why is verse 25 a true statement?
因为有两个事情肯定会发生。
Because there are two events that are certain to take place.
第一个事情就是你肯定会死。
The first thing is that every one of us is certain to die.
换句话说呢，你愿不愿意舍己呢？有一天你都必定 失去你的生命。
In other words, whether one is ready to deny himself or not, he will lose his life.
其实就好像我们每一天起床一样。
It's like we rise up every morning.
你早晨起来的时候呢，你就有二十四小时在你的手上。
When you get up in the morning, you have 24 hours in your hand.
无论你愿不愿意把这个时间花在神手上，也好了，到最后的时候，这二十四小时都会失去的。
And whether you're willing to put those 24 hours in God's hands or not, you will lose them. You will not be able to keep them.
没有人能够挽留这个时间。
And no one can keep those 24 hours.
生命是同一个道理。
And life is the same reason, same logic.
但是呢，耶稣同时提醒我们呢。
But Jesus also reminds us.
其实我们的生命不是在地上这七八十九年的时间。
That life is not consist of only the 70, 80, or 90 years in this world.
所以耶稣才在二十六节里面说，人若占得全世界，赔偿自己的生命有什么益处呢？人还能拿什么换生命呢？
And that's why Jesus said in verse 26, what good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?
耶稣提醒我们，当我们的身体去世的时候，你的灵魂还在的。
Jesus tells us that when our body dies, our soul continues to live.
这个就是我们必须要面对第二个肯定了。
And this is when we have, this is when we'll be confronted with the second certainty.
这个就是耶稣基督的审判。
And that is a judgment by Jesus Christ.
二十七节讲到，人只要在他父的荣耀里同着众使者降临，那时他要照个人的行为报应个人。
Verse 27 says, For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done.
耶稣言下之意呢，就是如果你现在为我的缘故舍己的时候，将来我审判这个世界的时候，我会赏赐你永生。
The implication of Jesus' explanation is that if you are willing to deny yourself, then one day when I'm judging this world, you will be rewarded.
那所以耶稣告诉我们两个肯定。
So Jesus has told us two certainties.
人人都会死。
Everyone will die.
那这个我不需要跟你证明，你大概会相信啊。
This I believe you will believe me. I think you'll believe me, even if I don't provide any proof.
但是第二个肯定就是耶稣将来的审判。
The second certainty that will take place is the judgment by Jesus.
门徒不一定相信啊。
The disciples might not have believed him.
所以耶稣在二十八节里面就告诉他们：“我实在告诉你们，站在这里的有人在没尝死味以前，必看见人子降临在他的国里。”
And that's why in verse 28, Jesus says that, tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man comes in his kingdom.
所以十七章的开始的时候呢，就告诉我们，过了六天，耶稣带着彼得、雅各的兄弟约翰恩恩地上了高山，就在他面前变了形象，脸面明亮如日头，异常洁白如光。
And that's why in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 17, they say that after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light.
那所以如果你从16章一直看到17章的时候，其实你就明白为什么耶稣要登山变相。
So if you read from chapter 16 all the way through into 17, you understand why Jesus had to be transfigured.
他是要证明神的国，天国一定会来。
He wanted to prove that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven will come for sure.
耶稣还要证明他就是将来要审判世界的基督。
And Jesus also wants to affirm that he is the Messiah that will judge the world.
他会决定谁可以进天国，谁不能。
And he'll decide who is to enter the kingdom of heaven and who is not.
所以现在我们要回答第二个问题。
And now we need to answer a second question.
就是耶稣登山变相对我们有什么影响呢？
Now what kind of impact does Jesus' transfiguration have on us?
当一个人肯定天国会来临的时候，
When a person is certain that the kingdom of heaven will come,
你可以有两个不同的反应。
You can have two different responses.
第一个反应就是一个自私的反应。
The first response is a selfish one.
就好像彼得呢，在十七章的第四节讲，主啊，我们在这里真好，我愿意，你若愿意，我就在这里，他山做棚，一座为你，一座为摩西，一座为以利亚。
And the first response, the selfish response, is like how Peter responded in verse 4. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
路加福音其实也记载这个事情。
And the Gospel book of Luke also recorded this event.
他又讲到其实三个门徒当时是在睡觉。
And that recording told us that those three disciples were actually sleeping.
那么他们突然间醒过来的时候呢？
When they awoke all of a sudden,
他又见到了摩西跟以利亚快要走了。
They noticed that Moses and Elijah were about to leave.
也见到耶稣变相的荣光。
And they saw the shining from Jesus' transfiguration.
所以彼得呢，在很情急的之下呢，就 他不知道自己该讲什么嘛，他就讲出刚刚所讲的这个提议。
So in that moment of desperation, without knowing what he wanted to say, Peter went ahead and said what we just read earlier.
所以你可以说呢，彼得这个建三个棚的这个提议呢，是他心底里面的话。
So you know that the suggestion by Peter to build three shelters came from the bottom of his heart.
他就是希望继续享受神国的荣耀。
That he wanted to continue to enjoy the glory of the kingdom of heaven.
他只关心到了天国的福乐，他不关心上帝的心意。
He only cared about blessings from the kingdom of heaven. He didn't care about God's will.
那你知道这样子的人呢，就好像， 比方说你选择你的丈夫。
So these people are no different from those who are about to choose a husband.
他只希望呢，嫁进去一个我们叫豪门呢，他不管他是不是真的爱这个人。
And she didn't really care whether she loved the person or not. She only wanted to marry for his money.
彼得这个自私的反应呢，让父神很生气了。
This selfish response from Peter angered God the Father.
因为呢，彼得这个提议都还没讲完呢，父神就开心打断他的话。
Because even before Peter finished speaking, God the Father interrupted him.
那彼得这个自私的反应呢，其实也是很多时候我们对福音的一个反应。
And actually, this selfish response from Peter is not different from how we respond to the gospel.
有些人知道呢，天国是一定会来临的。
Some people know that the kingdom of heaven will come.
但是他们最关心的事情是什么呢？
But the thing that they're most concerned with,
就是进天国最低的消费是什么？
Is what is the minimal requirement for entering the kingdom of heaven?
他会问什么人可以进天国啊？
They will ask who can enter the kingdom of heaven.
是不是每一个礼拜都要来教会崇拜才可以呢？
Does one have to come to church to worship every week to enter the kingdom of heaven?
如果不是的时候，我也不来了。If
not, then maybe I won't come.
是不是必须要奉献呢？
Do we have to make offering?
是不是需要侍奉呢？
Do we have to serve?
是不是接受水礲啊？
Do we have to be baptized?
这些人呢，只是他只关心，天国的福乐。
And these people only cared for blessings from the kingdom of heaven.
他只愿意付出最低的这个消费。
They were only willing to meet the minimum requirements.
你要他多给一点呢，他不愿意。
They were not willing to spare a bit more.
我会简直回答这些人。
I will respond to those people in the following way.
圣经告诉我们呢，我们得救跟我们的行为是没有关系的。
The Bible tells us that our salvation is not dependent on our work.
所以人奉献不奉献。
So whether we make offering or not.
聚会不聚会。
Whether we come to assembly or not.
受浸不受浸。
Being baptized or not.
你都不能因为这些事情让你进神的国。
And none of these things would allow you to enter the kingdom of God.
那么什么事情让人可以进神的国呢？
Well, then what kind of things would allow us to enter the kingdom of God?
那耶稣自己讲的，他说人若不重生，就不能见神的国。
And then Jesus said himself that unless a person is born again, he will not enter the kingdom of God.
那么我们就必须要问了，人怎么可以重生呢？
Then we must ask, how can one be reborn?
这个就是我们最著名的约翰福音三章十六节所讲的。
And this is exactly what's said in a very famous verse, and that is John chapter 3 verse 16.
当你信耶稣的时候，你就有永生。
That you will have eternal life when you believe in Jesus.
那如果你只是关心最低消费的人呢？
If you only care about a minimalistic life of faith,
很多时候他听到这句话以后呢，从此以后就消失在教会里面了。
And as soon as they hear this requirement, they will disappear from a church.
但是我必须要提醒大家。
But I must remind everyone.
信耶稣会带来重生。
Believing in Jesus will allow us to be reborn.
但是你怎么知道你是真心相信耶稣呢？
But how do we know that we truly believe in Jesus?
你怎么知道你的信心是真实的呢？
And how do we know that our faith is genuine?
其实圣经有叫我们去检验我们的信心的。
And actually the Bible has told us how to examine our faith.
这个方法很简单。
This method is actually quite simple.
那如果信心必定产生生命。
That faith will produce life.
那么你生命就一定有一个你看得见的一个结果了。
That life must bear effects that can be seen.
这个结果，生命的必然的一个结果呢，就是成长。
The one certain outcome of life is growth.
如果你家里面有一个植物
，If you have a plant at home，
从来不长的。
That never grows.
你就知道它是死的，或者它是假的呢？
Then you know that the plant is either dead or it's fake.
那，香港人呢，他喜欢过年的时候呢，买花回家的。
The people in Hong Kong like to buy flowers and bring them home during New Year's.
但是呢，我们住的地方越来越小啊。
But our living quarters have become smaller and smaller.
打理这些花的时间也越来越小。
The time to manage taking care of these flowers become more precious.
所以后来呢，就流行呢，买仙人掌回家。
And then, therefore, it became cactus became a popular choice.
特别其实是这些开了花的仙人掌。
And especially those cactus that has flowers blooming.
那么有一年呢，我们也买了一盘仙人掌回家。
One year, we also brought a cactus plant home.
这个花真是很漂亮哦。
And this flower, the flower was indeed beautiful.
过了一个月、两个月、三个月、四个月，仍然很漂亮哦。
After 1, 2, 3, 4 months, the flower continued to remain beautiful.
我是负责照顾这些花的人呢，在家里面。
And I was the one in charge. That was the one put in charge of taking care of these flowers.
有一天我不小心呢，就碰到这个花，就掉在地上了。
Then one day I accidentally touched the flower and it fell to the floor.
那么我就细心去研究。
And then I studied it carefully.
我发觉，这朵花是干，就是干的花来的。
So then I realized that this flower is actually one of those that has been preserved.
所以呢，是这些花农呢骗人的一个手法。
This was a deception from those flower farmers.
他就把这些干花放在这个仙人掌上面，你以为是它长出来的花。
They would put these preserved flowers on top of the cactus plants to lead you to think that these flowers came naturally from the plant.
其实是一朵没有生命的假花。
But in actuality, it's a fake flower that had no life in it.
一个真正信耶稣的人，他必定会重生。
A person who has genuine faith in Jesus will be born again.
重生的人他必定会成长。
A person who is born again will grow.
这个人必定会爱神。
And this person will love God.
你爱神的时候，你就会愿意遵守他的旨意。
And when you love God, you will obey His commands.
所以你这个其实也是第二类的对。天国肯定天国来临的人的反应。
This is maybe the second kind of response that people who are anticipating the arrival of the kingdom of heaven.
就是他愿意遵守父神的命令，讨父神喜悦的。
That he's willing to obey God's command and wanting to be pleasing to God.
这个其实就是耶稣基督的反应。
And this actually is Jesus Christ's response.
路加福音告诉我们，当耶稣在山上变相的时候。
The Gospel book of Luke told us that when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain.
其实他是跟摩西跟以利亚谈论他去世的事情。
And actually, he was discussing with Moses and Elijah about his departure from this world.
耶稣不接受彼得留在山上的原因。
And the reason Jesus did not want to accept Peter's suggestion of remaining on the mountain.
就是他要下山完成父神的计划。
And that was because he wanted to come down from the mountain to fulfill God's plan.
他愿意去耶路撒冷受洗。
That he was willing to go to Jerusalem to die.
门徒看见耶稣在山上变相的时候，
When the disciples saw Jesus being transfigured on the mountain,
他就肯定耶稣就是旧约预言的基督。
And they were certain at that moment that Jesus was the Messiah prophesied by the Old Testament.
当耶稣这次下山的时候呢，门徒也明白耶稣预言他受害的事情必定会发生。
When Jesus insisted that he need to go down from the mountain, the disciples also understood that his suffering and death are also about to happen.
但是两样事情门徒不明白，不能放在一起。
But those two things were actually difficult for the disciples to reconcile.
所以呢，他们就问耶稣一个问题。
So they asked Jesus one question.
文士为什么说以利亚必须先来？
And why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?
文士问这个问题，可能是剪纸。
And the reason that the teachers of the law asked this question is probably because
耶稣肯定不是基督。
It's because that Jesus must not be the Messiah.
因为以利亚还没来。
Because Elijah had not come yet.
但是对门徒来说，
But to the disciples,
他现在知道耶稣就是基督了。
That Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
他也见到以利亚了。
That they had seen Elijah.
根据旧约的预言呢，
According to prophecy from the Old Testament,
耶稣基督来之前，以利亚会复兴万事。
That Elijah would restore everything before the Messiah comes.
如果以利亚复兴万事的时候，为什么耶稣基督还要上耶路撒冷受害呢？
if Elijah were to have everything restored, why would Jesus still have to go to Jerusalem to be crucified?
那么耶稣在十一节就回答他们说
And Jesus answered their question in verse 11.
以利亚固然现来，并要复兴万事。
To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things.
你看见呢，耶稣把这个预言分开两段。
You notice that Jesus has separated this prophecy into two parts.
就是以利亚来临跟以利亚复兴万事。
And that is the arrival of Elijah and the restoration of things by Elijah.
十二节里面，耶稣就继续讲，只是我告诉你们，以利亚已经来了。人却不认识他，任意待他，人子也将要怎样受他们的害。
And in verse 12, Jesus continued to say that, but I tell you, Elijah had already come, and they did not recognize him, and have done him in everything they wished. In the same way, Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands.
所以耶稣是说有关这个预言。
So Jesus is saying that in relation to this prophecy,
以利亚来临的这一部分已经发生。
That the coming of Elijah had already taken place.
但是他复兴万事的这一部分还是将来的。
But the restoration of everything is to happen in the future.
门徒听完以后呢，他们就明白了。
The disciples understood as soon as they heard that.
耶稣所说的是指说是使约翰。
That the that Jesus was referring to John the Baptist.
耶稣曾经在马太福音十一章里面呢，讲到是使约翰的时候说，你们若肯领受，这人就是应当来的以利亚。
And Jesus had said in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 14, that if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come.
所以如果当时带的以色列人呢，他接受施洗约翰的时候
，So if the Israelites of those days had accepted Elijah, accepted John the Baptist,
施洗约翰就会成就有关以利亚复兴万事的这个预言。
That John the Baptist would have fulfilled the prophecy of Elijah restoring everything.
耶稣基督马上就会带来天国。
And that Jesus Christ.Would have brought in the kingdom of heaven.
但是因为以色列人他拒绝以利这个施洗约翰。
But because the Israelites rejected John the Baptist.
耶稣说不单只施洗约翰会受害，已经受害。
And that's why Jesus said not only John the Baptist had already died.
我将来也会好像他一样受害。
That in the same way that Jesus himself would also die.
耶稣这个解释也意味着将来其实以利亚会再来复兴万事。
So the implication of Jesus' explanation is also that the Elijah will come once again.
到这个时候，耶稣基督就会建立天国。
And at that moment, Jesus Christ will reestablish the kingdom of heaven.
那所以当我们看完整个故事的时候。
So now we have read the whole story.
你知道耶稣登上殿上最终的目的？
Do you know the ultimate purpose of Jesus' transfiguration?
不单只证明呢，天国必定来临。
It's not only to prove that the kingdom of heaven will come again.
不单只证明耶稣就是这个审判天下的基督。
And not only to prove that Jesus is the Messiah that will judge this entire world.
他也希望听到的人呢决定舍己。
And but he also wants those who have heard him to deny themselves.
跟随耶稣。
To follow Jesus.
背起他的十字架。
And take up their cross.
这个就是耶稣希望门徒所有的一个反应。
And that's the response that Jesus was expecting from the disciples.
那么你说十二个门徒里面他们有没有最后接受耶稣这个就是要求呢
？And so, do you think that the 12 disciples at the end met Jesus' requirements?
就是他愿意舍己，还是呢做一个呢只付最低消费的一个基督徒呢
that these disciples, did they deny themselves or they were content living a minimalistic life of faith?
那如果我们从教会历史来看,
Now if we go back to church history,
所以呢，这个出卖耶稣的犹大以外是自杀而死的。
Except for Judas who betrayed Jesus, committed suicide himself.
其余11个门徒都是为了福音而死。
All the other 11 disciples died for the gospel.
有一些是死在刀下。
Died by the knife.
有一些是钉在十字架上面死的。
And some were crucified.
有一个是用给人用刀割死的，锯死的。
One was sawed in half with a, by a sword.
有一个是剥皮而死的。
And one was skinned alive.
有一个老死在监狱里面。
And one died of old age in prison.
那不单指这十一个门徒是这样子，舍己。
So not only these 11 disciples deny themselves in such ways.
他还写信呢，写下信约的书。 告诉其他的基督徒，你们也当如此。But
they also wrote letters who became books in New Testament to command all Christians to be in such ways.
他们都知道罗马政府逼迫基督徒的手段是很厉害的。They
all knew that that the Roman Empire had persecuted Christians in very severe manners.
我们知道他把人钉在十字架上面。
We know that they crucified people.
我们也知道呢，他会把人掉进这个斗兽场里面。
Well, we also know that they would throw people into the Colosseum.
你知道，如果你进去斗兽场，你是没有机会，生存出来的。
You all know that that once you're thrown into the Colosseum, there is no way you're ever going to get out alive.
他会一直斗你，斗到你死的，这一刻。
And they will make you struggle against beasts until you die.
还有其他折磨基督徒的方法。
There are other ways to torture Christians.
好像我们中国人有五马分尸，他们也有。
So it's like this, the old Chinese way of torturing, which is dismemberment by through five horses. That's also practiced in the Roman days.
他们还会把你捆在一个木头上面，好像蜡烛一样点起来。
They would also tie you to a stake and burn you like a candle.
但是我觉得最恐怖的惩罚呢，是这个。
But I think the following is probably the most terrifying punishment.
就是把一个活人，跟一个死尸啊，卷在一起。
And that and the punishment is tying a live person together with a dead body.
那么呢，这个死尸这些虫呢，就会慢慢的爬过来，把你咬死了。
So the worms or the maggots from the dead body will migrate to the live person and eat that person alive.
那你想一想，当你爱一个人的时候呢，你很多时候就是不愿意他经历困难，你就叫他不要跟你做同一样事情了。
And we all know that when we love a person very much, we don't want those people to experience difficulties in life, so we don't want them to repeat what we have done.
那耶稣怎么爱人?
And Jesus loved us so much.
为什么他叫他的门徒跟随他去舍己呢?
Why would he ask his disciples to follow him to deny themselves?
11个门徒眼见他的 他的同门师兄弟啊，简直死。
11 disciples eyewitnessed the death of their brothers and sisters in Christ.
为什么他还要写信告诉其他基督徒，你们要为主舍己呢？
Why would they write letters like they did to encourage people to deny themselves?
舍己对他们不是一个口号。 它是一个现实。
Denying themselves at that time was not a slogan, it was a reality.
答案你可以在彼得后书里面找出来。
The answers can be found in 2 Peter.
彼得后书呢, 他写的目的在第一章十三节里面告诉我们。
The purpose of writing the second book of Peter is summarized in verse 13 in chapter 1.
当时彼得说，我快要离开世界了。
At that time, Peter was saying that he was about to leave this world.
他希望写这封信，激励提醒基督徒。
And he wanted to write that letter to encourage and to remind Christians.
所以呢，你可以说呢，彼得后书是我们说这些死前的忏悔。
So you may say that the second book of Peter is his bedside confession.
你知道很多人临死之前他会长出这些真相。
And you know that many people will reveal their true feelings just before they die.
那么彼得就在彼得后书里面讲。
And Peter said in the second book of Peter.
十六节他讲，我们从前将我们主耶稣基督大能和他降临的时告诉你们，并不是随从怪巧捏造的序言，乃是亲眼见过他的威容。
That he said in verse 16, chapter 1, that for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
十七、十八节里面就解释了，他所讲的这些耶稣基督大能可他降临的事，就是我们今天所讲到耶稣登山变相的事情。
And then verse 17 and 18, talked about the fact that what's recorded in verse 16, which is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, is Jesus' transfiguration.
彼得的意思啊，他的死前的忏悔，就是他告诉我们，耶稣登山变相是千真万确，绝无虚言。
And so what Peter was trying to say through his bedside confession that Jesus' transfiguration is an actual event and there's no deception at all.
不是一个神话。
It's not a myth.
是我彼得亲眼所见的。
It was witnessed, Peter witnessed this event with my own eyes.
虽然我们当中没有一个人见过这个事情。
Even though nobody among us has seen this.
但是彼得在十九节讲出，我们并有先知更确的预言。
But Peter said in verse 19 that we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable.
这个更确的预言就是我们手上的圣经。
And this a prophetic message that's completely reliable is the Bible in our hands.
他说如同灯照在黑暗处。
And it's like a light shining in a dark place.
所以对彼得来说，我们手上这本圣经比起他当年的经验更可靠。
So to Peter, the Bible we have in our hand is even more reliable than his own eyewitness.
彼得说，你们在这预言上留意，直到天发亮，诚信在你们心里出现的时候才是好的。
And that's why Peter said that you will do well to pay attention to it, and until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
耶稣登山变相证明了，天国必定来临。
Jesus' transfiguration proved that the kingdom of heaven will come.
耶稣基督就是将来要审判世界的基督。
That Jesus Christ is the Messiah that will judge this world.
这件事情改变了彼得的一生。
And that event transformed Peter's life.
为什么彼得知道他快要殉道的时候，他还是继续传福音，劝别人，劝基督徒为耶稣去舍己呢？
And why would Peter continue to share the gospel even till the moment before he martyred? To ask people to deny themselves.
因为他经过这个事情的时候，他见到天国太荣耀了。
Because when he witnessed this transfiguration, he understood how glorious the kingdom of heaven is.
他也了解地狱太恐怖了。
And he also realized how terrifying hell is.
比起罗马这些逼迫更恐怖。
That is more terrifying than the persecution by the Romans.
所以保罗曾经讲这句话。
That's why Paul said the following.
我想现在的苦楚若彼此将来要显于我们的荣耀就不足介意了。
That I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us.
彼得希望耶稣登山变相这个事情也改变我们每一个基督徒。
And Peter also hopes that Jesus' transfiguration will change every one of us Christians.
这个就是彼得后书第三章最后一章的时候，彼得说：“但叫我。” 但我们叫他的应许盼望新天新地有益在其中亲爱的弟兄啊你们只盼望这些事就当殷勤使自己没有玷污无可指责安然见主
And that's why Peter said in the second book of Peter in his last chapter, chapter 3 that verse 13 that but in keeping with his promise We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Peter reminds us,
天国一定会来,
the kingdom of heaven will come for sure.
所以你要肯定自己一定能够进天国,
that you need to make a certain that you can enter the kingdom of heaven yourself.
你要安然见主,
that you need to be at peace with Lord.
人若不重生, 不能进神的国,
a person will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven if he's not reborn.
但是重生的证据是什么呢?
But what is the evidence of a person who's born again?
就是成长,
and that is growth.
而一个人当他成长的时候，他必定会有一个殷勤，过一个圣洁的生活的一个表现。
When a person is growing, and the person will have will live a genuine and a faithful life.
希望耶稣登山变相的事情。
Hope that the this event of Jesus' transfiguration.
改变我们每一个人
can transform every one of us
不要做一个最低效会的一个基督徒
that's not live a life of a minimalistic faith
因为简直想的人他很可能不是一个真的真信耶稣的人
if that's our principle in life then perhaps we're not real Christians
我们要愿意为耶稣基督舍己
That we are we must be willing to deny ourselves for Lord Jesus Christ.
不单只愿意为耶稣而死，也为耶稣而活。
That we're not only willing to die for Jesus, but we're also willing to live for Jesus.
我们最后一同祷告。
And let's pray together.
亲爱的天父，我们谢谢你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you.
因为你给圣经我们的时候是一个更确的预言。
When you give us the Bible. It is a prophecy that had been affirmed.
让我们知道将来有一天耶稣基督真的会回来审判这个世界。
That we know that that Jesus Christ will return to this world and to judge it.
让我们每一个人都立定决心。
And help every one of us to be determined.
就是我们要保证自己能够进神的国。
And that we can indeed enter the kingdom of God.
让主你给我们的生命在我们当中是很明显的。
And help us grow so that our lives are evident to others.
帮助我们殷勤的去 过我们圣洁的生活。
And help us live our life of faith in a genuine way.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
And thank you for listening to our prayer.
Amen.